of heights to the depths of the sea.
But now Hezekiah, growing up under his father and seeing the fruit, no doubt, of his doings, he has it in his heart to change things around and turn the country back to God. And you know, we are in a place in our country right now that we need to do the same as well.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, all struck with...
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher Rob Kellogg. Today we learn of King Hezekiah and how he was a new start for Judah. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he came to the throne of Judah at the very end of the kingdom of Israel. 3 years after the start of his reign, the Assyrian armies set siege to Samaria, and 3 years after that, the northern kingdom was conquered. The sad fate of the northern kingdom was a valuable lesson to Hezekiah. He saw firsthand what happened when the people of God rejected their God and his word and worshiped other gods. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he begins chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles.
All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to 2 Chronicles. We're going to be looking at the 29th chapter tonight, and I think that's all we're going to do this evening. Really, the next four chapters, chapters 29, 30, 31, and 32, all really encompass the life of Hezekiah. And for those of you who know Israel's history, there weren't very many reformer kings, meaning you remember that after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel, it used to be a united monarchy, then it divided after Solomon, and now we have the 10 northern tribes and the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, just known as the southern tribe or just known as Judah. And the northern 10 tribes began really horrible, meaning Jeroboam, their first king, was an idolater. He continued in his idolatry from the very beginning. He never stopped, actually. And from then on, every king in the northern kingdom just continued this perpetual idolatry, and they never recovered. There was never a good king in the northern 10 tribes. But yet, in the southern two tribes of the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, we know that of all the kings that were in that dynasty, David being the first, there was only a handful that were really good. In fact, history tells us through 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st Chronicles, as we have already gone through these books, and now we're in 2nd Chronicles, there was only a few of them that were good. Asa was a good king. Jehoshaphat was another good king. Jotham, 2 weeks ago, we looked at him. And then finally, tonight, we're going to see one of the best. In fact, I would be willing to say that Hezekiah, and in the future here, we're also going to be looking at Josiah. Those two men, specifically, were probably the best. Hezekiah and Josiah. They were men who had it in their heart to not continue in the idolatry that their fathers and their forebears had continued doing. And they stood up and they did the right thing. They were godly men. And their influence changed the course of Israel, at least for a time. And we need people like that. Throughout history, there are always men or women in different types of environments that will stand up after a country is going in the wrong direction. But before we get into chapter 29 tonight, I want to give you a couple of scripture passages for you just to write down, and I would encourage you to read them to get the full glimpse of the life and the reign of Hezekiah. And certainly I already gave you one of them, 2 Chronicles chapter 29 through chapter 32. That's a total of four chapters, so 2 Chronicles 29 through 32. And also 2 Kings chapters 18 through 20. And if you look at those chapters, you get a very good understanding of who this man was and why his reign was so significant. And I don't normally give titles to passages in Chronicles, but as I began to read this chapter this week, the thing that came out to me was when a nation returns to God. And again, we know that the northern 10 tribes, they've always entertained idolatry. And for the most part, the southern kingdom was the same, except for this king. And but Ahaz, as you remember, we looked at him last week. He was Hezekiah's father and the king preceding Hezekiah. He was one of Judah's worst kings. In fact, he was probably one of the worst kings in Israel in totality. One of the worst. But now Hezekiah, growing up under his father and seeing the fruit, no doubt, of his doings, he has it in his heart to change things around and turn the country back to God. And you know, we are in a place in our country right now that we need to do the same as well. And so the next four chapters encapsulating the reign of Hezekiah is pertinent to our time right now because our country is completely filled with compromise and corruption and idolatry and every level of society. And God has a right to judge it. God has, through time, judged his own people, chastened them, whatever you want to call it. Some undesirable things happened, and then it's up to the person or the nation to respond to that, knowing that they're doing wrong, to turn to God. And those who do are blessed, and they are encouraged, and God stays off his judgment, and he stays off other countries invading them for a season. As long as they are watching and following him, he's protecting them. And even when they do come against, God gives them easy victories oftentimes over their enemies. But we see that in our country. And I love our country, but America has sown to the wind, and it's reaping the whirlwind. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, she's actually responsible for this saying, even though it's coined most of the time by Billy Graham. But Ruth Graham actually said it first, and she said, "If God does not judge America, he will owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology." And I believe that's true. God chastens those whom he loves. And it's time that we as a church, and I'm not just talking about us, but I'm talking about corporately in America, it's time that the church rises to this occasion and allows the Lord to search our hearts and for us to get back into God's program instead of building and maintaining our own program. Because God's program is sharing the gospel, and it's also living lives that are pleasing to the Lord. And how many of us are doing that? Maybe you are tonight. And praise the Lord for that. And you don't have to answer this out loud, but just in the quietness of your heart. Lord, am I really following you? Am I really doing those things that please you? Or am I just a Christian in name only? Am I just going to church and going through the motions? But is my heart really surrendered to you in everything? In all that you have shared in your word, is it surrendered? Or is it not? And those are really uncomfortable questions we have to ask ourselves, and we have to be honest with ourselves, because you can't fool God, right? We can't fool him. And may the Lord open our hearts and our minds to him again, and may he fill us with his spirit and use us for the time remaining before he comes and takes the church out of the world. Our country as a whole needs to look at Christ, and it needs to confess their sins and be healed and transformed by the indwelling of the Spirit. So as we look at these chapters, and again, we're only looking at chapter 21 tonight, it encapsulates what needs to happen in America but especially in the church today, and that is revival. And what we're going to see tonight as we read chapter 29 is a revival of sorts. The best one that we're going to see is yet future to this time that we're looking at. When we get to Josiah, that's going to be one of the biggest, most incredible times in Israel's history. Probably the only other time that it was that glorious was when Solomon reigned for 40 years. It was the golden age of Israel, where God had given them quietness all around them, and prosperity and blessing were upon the children of Israel. It was truly an unparalleled time. But Hezekiah, a great man of God, but what we see here in this chapter that we're going to get into is a revival, a reformation, reforming, getting back to their roots, which is what they needed to do. And the same thing needs to happen in America. And revival means bringing back to life that which was alive and then died or is in the process of dying. Because if you're alive and in the process of dying, you need to be revived. Because that means that you are alive at one time. And that's why you need to be revived. Now, when we think of conversion, that's bringing somebody from death into light or into life. Before I came to Christ, I was just dead in my sins. But when I gave my heart to Christ and I was converted, I was born again, I was saved, however you want to call it, I wasn't revived, I was transformed. And I was going somewhere that wasn't good. I was on my way to hell, and God changed my life and He saved me. Has He saved you? I imagine most of us would say amen, He has. And that's important to know. So the church needs to be revived, and so we need to be personally and corporately in the church in America. We need revival. And that's what this chapter we're going to see is partly about. And it couldn't be timed any better, this chapter. So let's read. We're just going to look at the first 19 verses of 2 Chronicles 29. Let's read them together, and then we're going to go back and take a look. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. And then he brought in the priests and the Levites, and he gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For your fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and they have forsaken him. They've turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of God fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense. And then these Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasiah, and Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehalalel, of the Gershonites, Joah, the son of Zimmah, and Eden, the son of Joah, of the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jeiel, of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah, of the sons of Heman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves, and they went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it, and they carried it out to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. And so they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. And then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord." And so we, now for those of you who are new here tonight, or maybe you've been absent for a couple of weeks, this is going to sound like we're coming right in the middle of something, and indeed you are, because there's a lot of things that happened prior to this that brought us to this moment. And just to say a few things about Ahaz, we've already talked that he was one of the most wicked kings, and he was the father of this king, Hezekiah. Now, I want you to think about that, because here is a man who was completely evil. Everything he did just frustrated God. Everything he did was against the Lord. And yet he had this little son. From the moment he was born until he was 11 years old. Because we know something at 11 years old. He became vice regent with his father Ahaz. A vice regent is sort of like a vice president. So King Ahaz was the king, but then his son, yes, at 11 years old, was now vice regent with this horrible example of a father and of a king of Israel. And think of this young man at 11 years old watching his father do all these horrible things, totally shutting up the temple of God and removing all of the elements and all the articles and breaking them in pieces. And then in addition to that, if that wasn't enough, he would set up altars of incense and altars on every high hill and under every green tree, and he would worship the host of heaven. All the while, this 11-year-old formidable, you know, son who, or not formidable, but he's pliable. What's the word I want? It starts with an F. He's impressionable. Thank you so much. Yes, he was impressionable. And there he is watching his father fumble and fumble and fumble and fumble and fumble, and nothing good happens. It's only evil. So let's go back to verse 1, because we have some things to look at here. So Hezekiah was vice regent with his father Ahaz from 729 to 715 B.C. That's 729 to 715 B.C. So that's 14 years. And when he became vice regent with his dad Ahaz, he was 11 years old. 11 years old. And then Hezekiah reigned At age 25, in 715 B.C., he reigned for a total of 29 years until 686 B.C. And this means that Hezekiah was 54 when he died. And I was looking at that this week, and it kind of hit home to me, because that's how old I am. I'm 54 years old. And I think of this young man who had a horrible example before him. You know, there are a lot of people who say, well, if you have a horrible parents, then you're going to be horrible. And if you have good parents, then you're going to be good. But it doesn't work like that, does it? We see that not only throughout, we've seen that all throughout Kings and Chronicles, for number one, that that's not the truth. Because you can have a really great father, a really great example, one that read you, you know, bedtime stories at night from the Bible, one that read to you the scriptures, that prayed with you, that was the perfect example before you, and that child could still go their own way. Now, the truth is, there is a proverb that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And that is a promise, but that doesn't negate the fact that every person has free will. They have the ability to either choose or deny God. And yet, even if they grew up in a superlative, wonderful home, their conscience is going to be gnawing at them because they know what they're doing is wrong, because they've been brought up to be better. They've been brought up and showed different things. They've been given the example, and they know. And you continue doing that. You continue bucking against what is true and what is right. Eventually, God will allow you the thing that you want, and that is self-autonomy, to just do whatever it is that you want to do. And I love the fact that God has put blocks in my way throughout my life. And I was, by God's grace, cognizant enough to see what they were and realize that he was working. And then for even the grace to respond in a way where I'm like, okay, God, I know you got my attention. But some people just continue in stubbornness and they continue in rebellion. And such was Ahaz, but such was not Hezekiah. Grew up in a horrible house, and now he becomes one of the bright lights. So if you come from a home that's broken, and most of us do, if you came from a home where your father or your mother or your aunt, your uncle, somebody abused you and treated you horribly all your life, you've got no excuse to continue in that behavior. You need to come to Christ, and everything changes. Amen. So Hezekiah, he was 54 years old when he died. But those dates that I gave you, that means that 7 years prior to his beginning of his reign, which was 715 BC, 7 years prior to that, Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been taken captive by the Assyrians. We know that in 722 BC, they were taken captive by the Assyrians. And it tells us in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 9 and 10 specifically, that the king of Assyria had for about 3 years laid siege to Samaria, which is the capital of the northern kingdom, and this would have been around 725, 724 BC. He finally, after 3 years of besieging Samaria, took Samaria in 722 BC, and he led Israel captive. And again, the Holy Spirit tells us why the northern 10 tribes, known as Israel, were taken captive. As it tells us in 2 Kings 18, verse 12, it says, because, here's the reason, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. So they were obstinate. They had heard the truth, but they said, no, thank you. Have you ever done that to the Lord? He's showing you something, and you just keep going headlong into your own thing. I did it. I'll be the first to raise my hand that God has spoken things to me. And I said, no, I think I can do better. Or I can do it differently. I can get it done quicker. And most of this was today. No, just kidding. Much of this was before I came to the Lord. I knew better. I knew things weren't right. And yet I did them anyway. But even after I've come to Christ, there have been times where, God, I know what I'm thinking, what I'm about to do is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Is there forgiveness? Is there restoration? Of course. And thank God he gets a hold of our hearts and he changes us. And then you don't want to do it anymore. You know, sometimes we continue in our sin because we love it. We love it too much. We love the sin. We love whatever it is more than we love God.
That's the end of our study today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the book of 2 Chronicles. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.